Welcome to the We Are The Church podcast. This podcast features real people with real life stories from GBC. While these stories are their lived experience and we are thankful for their honesty and vulnerability in sharing with us, we are aware that sometimes topics raised and issues discussed on the pod might cause the listeners distress or in some situations be triggering. If you need emergency assistance, please call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or their website is lifeline.org.au. If you need additional assistance, non-urgent support, contact a counselling service such as Hopefield on their website, hopefield.org.au, or call them on 02-9545-0299, or speak to your pastor or trusted friend. Welcome to the We Are The Church podcast, hosted by me, Adam, and my beautiful wife, Brianna. Throughout the podcast, you'll hear and experience people's stories of faith in action to encourage, strengthen, and inspire you.
Hear the real-life stories of people from Guymere Baptist Church and our local community. There will be a few laughs, serious chats, and amazing encounters with God through the love and hope of Jesus Christ. We pray that this podcast reaches you on a deep level and encourages you on your own journey of discovery and faith.
I'm Adam, and I'm here with my beautiful wife, Brianna.
Hello, hello.
And tonight we have Brianna.
Another Brianna,
yes. Watkins with us.
Another Brianna. What a
spelled
blessing.
Differently, though, I think.
Yeah, I have an E in the middle.
Yeah, and you've got an A, haven't you, honey?
I have a, I'm a B-R-I, and I think you're a B-R-E, is that
no,
right?
No, I'm a B-R-I-E. That took me a second to figure out. No, I'm B-R-I-E, yeah.
Okay, amazing. So along with your name, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I have lived in Sydney for about 6.5 years. And so I've been with Guymere Baptist Church that long, and I've been in the faith community with them. I volunteer most areas of the church. Like, you can find me almost everywhere except on stage. But yeah, I've been a Christian my entire life, and yeah.
Amazing. So you mentioned that you've only been in Australia 6 and a bit years. So where were you before there?
Yeah. I've lived all over the world. When I was 2, I lived in Germany. And when I was 2.5, I moved to England. And then I moved all around Australia. The only place I haven't lived is Western Australia.
Okay.
And Tasmania. But yeah. And
but you lived all the other states?
Yeah, all the other states.
Wow, that's cool.
Never been to the same place twice except Sydney. And, oh, that's a lie. Canberra was another one.
Yep.
But, yeah, that doesn't count. I was born there. I didn't remember it.
Oh, fair enough.
But, yeah, and the other one was Hawaii. So before I came here, it was for the 6.5 years, it was Hawaii.
Amazing.
Where I lived for 2 years.
Aloha.
Is it aloha goodbye or aloha hello?
Aloha means hello and love, and it has multiple meanings depending on the context.
There you go.
It also, yeah, ohana is the, we are family, so ohana.
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 Love that. And so you mentioned you traveled around, but I'm guessing as a baby and a younger person, you weren't on your own during the travels?
No, I was with my lovely family of my dad, my mother, my lovely mother, so strong.
And
Kaz. Yeah, gotta love Kaz.
Shout out to Kaz.
Hey, Kaz.
She's lovely. She'll definitely be listening to this. And my lovely brother, Lachlan.
Who, represent.
Yes, just an amazing member of the faith community here as well.
Nice.
And I also had a cat. I still have him, but he's a part of the family.
Yeah.
But yeah, his name's Monty.
Monty.
We have to include Monty.
Yay.
Is it from Monty Python?
No.
No? What from?
My dad named him after a general in the army.
Okay,
I love that.
That's nice. Yeah.
We've got cats too. We actually have 3 cats.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Monty can't have any other friends otherwise. Yeah, he'll kill them.
He's like, this is my family. I'm not sharing them with anyone else.
Yeah.
We've got a ginger cat. Can you guess his name?
Monty.
That would be funny though.
That would be funny. Gingy.
Oh, Gingy.
And then what have we got? Kiko, our middle child.
Yeah.
And then Cleo, our youngest.
Oh, Cleo, the condensation.
You know what? We go with Cleo, we go, Cleo, Cleo. Like on Leo, like on Austin Powers, yeah. That's kind of our thing.
Nah, I was quoting H2O.
Oh, H2O.
Yeah.
Love it, love it. Well, what's something that people may not know about you? You've divulged a couple of things there, but
ooh, what are some things people don't know about me? I'm a very open person, but like my trust boundaries, they are, if you break my trust, they're hard to get back. But okay. Also if you it'll take you probably a 5 or 6 years to get my trust.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's important.
My way of figuring out trust is not that great, but yeah, I found ways around that. And moving from place to place means that I've had very shallow friendships, but the community here made it. I definitely trust them more.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Most other people. That's why I'm sharing.
That's right.
And trust is something that takes time to build as well. So, you know, if you've got to have that longer time to be able to test and, you know, see where things lie with people too. So that's so wonderful to hear that, you know, here at Gaimi Baptist Church you feel, you know, it's a safe space and you've had time here to build trust and those really great relationships.
Yeah, I have found an Ohana here.
Ohana.
Ohana, nice. Well, in New Zealand, in the Maori language, Ohana or family is whānau.
Whānau.
So this is a New Zealand thing because I'm a New Zealander, so I thought I'd just throw that out there.
Yep.
Also, is there a particular book, movie or series that has influenced you in your faith journey?
Pick
one. You don't have to do all of those, but
you might have a few faves.
You could.
So many faves.
Okay, go for it.
I mainly listen to music. Music is the way I connect with God.
Nice.
And so I have so many favorite artists. Like
okay, top three.
Oh, top three. That's hard to ask.
Top 10.
I have to go for Fakir and Country.
Nice.
Just
got
to love the Christian, the Aussie artists.
Yeah, we saw them live. They were great.
I did too at the Sydney Opera House.
Yes, a couple of years back. Yeah.
Such a lovely time. Pre-COVID, I went to see that with my family as well.
It was a really powerful performance, wasn't it?
It was so good. I loved Burn the Ships. So good.
Oh, no, so moving, eh?
So moving.
Yeah.
And who else?
I had a feeling that when you mentioned them, you must have seen them live. Because I was like, if you loved them that much, you would have gone.
Yeah. Rent Collective, also love Rent Collective.
Yeah,
good. They just have the
gritty
beat.
Aren't they? Yeah, love their accent. When they,
and, I'd have to go for a good solo artist of Colton Dixon.
Oh, yeah, he's great too. Nice.
He has a lot of good songs. Yeah.
And what about a movie or maybe a series that you're into?
Oh, Christian or just normal?
Whatever.
I can't pick. I go from movie to movie and I'll have to go for the MCU. Love the MCU.
Oh, yeah, MCU. Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah, for those that aren't sure what MCU means. Yeah,
for those listening at home that don't know. Yeah, it's the MCU.
It's pretty epic these days. It's over 20 films or something
now. Yeah. I love that, just the way I can escape reality and dive into their creativeness in creating.
And they're so colourful, the movies now, too. There's so much to them.
Compared to DC, they're just so much more bright.
Yeah, they are, definitely.
So much better.
And a lot of those movies, too, you know, it's sort of that good versus evil overcoming stories and there's usually some really great learning things out of a lot of those movies as well, I find.
They have
and
a
there's
lot of
big goats in the latest one.
Screaming goats.
What the heck?
Sorry for any spoilers.
Spoilers. Oh, there was a little bit in the trailer, but they were screaming in the trailer.
Well,
but anyway.
we haven't mentioned which movie. So
still spoilers because we know that it's in the MCU, but
So when did you become a Christian?
Oh, I've grown up in a Christian family my entire life, but it was year 7 when I decided to get baptized.
Nice.
Yeah, that was in Hawaii.
Oh, cool.
And I was baptized on Easter Sunday.
Wow.
And so.
Whereabouts? Like at the beach? Or
at the beach.
Oh, yes.
By my youth pastor and the assistant pastor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was very nice. It was very special. And I got baptized with one of my closest friends there in Hawaii too.
Oh, that's lovely.
Was really, really nice. Mm. And it's one that we've always remembered because it was a sunrise service. So,
That'll be a special memory for sure.
Yeah, like it's a memory that has never gone away. And every time Lachlan got baptized, I was just rubbing it in his face that it wasn't Hawaii.
Good old sibling rivalry.
Yeah.
I'm curious. You might have to get Lachlan on in here. His adventure was like his side of it, how he got baptized.
Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned in year 7, that's when you made the choice. Was there anything sort of leading up to that where you were, you know, that kind of led you to make that choice?
Yeah, I was sort of an on-the-fence Christian at then. I was at a public school. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of my friends were Christian. Like, I was still talking to my friends who were at the church in Hawaii, but, like, it wasn't a big part of my life. Like, it wasn't as big as it is today. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when God definitely called me and said, you're going to go through some tough spots in the upcoming years.
Yeah.
And I want you to just prove to me that you actually love me.
Mm.
Take the next big step. And so I did.
Yeah.
And I got baptized that Sunday, that Easter Sunday. And I definitely needed to get baptized.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't have. If I didn't have my faith, I definitely wouldn't have made it through that season in my life.
Yeah, that's
testament. That's good then. Good to that you had that encouragement from. Did you have peers around you that were encouraging you as well, like your pastors or like other people that went to that church, or just friends from school?
No, they didn't.
Or just God.
It was just God, and awesome. Just I kept hearing. Get baptized through message, baptism, get baptized.
Yeah.
Big step. It was, I forget who sings it, but it's called Deep End, and it's just jump into the deep end, take that step, don't be scared.
Yeah, right.
And so I took that step. And it was the best decision I ever made.
Oh, yeah, good. So good. And just for anyone who might be listening in, you know, what does it mean to be baptized? Like what does that involve? What is it?
It's the immersion underwater, just like how Jesus baptized his disciples and he was baptized himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's the full immersion underwater, and it's not like when you're a baby and you get the dunked. But it's the choice when you're older and you give a little testimony of your faith and your journey and why you're making this decision, that you understand the significance in making that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Then they say something about dunking and then that you're buried into the water and it's like you're buried in the tomb, and then when you're raised up, it's like you've been risen again.
Amazing. Mm.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing that.
You start your new life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you currently serve either here at GBC or in our local community?
Yes. I serve on a Sunday in really any way necessary. Like my mum has, because she works for Mark Rader as his PA, but she wants to become his EA because she does way more work than a PA.
Sure.
But so whenever she needs me, I'll always help and be an extra set of hands when she's down volunteers. So I've done morning teas. I've helped cater for functions that she's needed help catering. Mm. I've helped serve coffee. I'm on welcoming in the 6 p.m. service.
Cool.
At the 9:30 service, I am leading Loft, which is years 5 to 7. And cool. They're a lovely bunch of kids. So much fun. And awesome. On Friday nights, I lead youth.
Oh, good.
So just a few things.
Just a few things.
Just a handful of things, you know.
I also do corporate prayer at the front. And I've done the occasional Bible reading.
Yep.
But, yeah, just the occasional thing. I totally don't serve everywhere I can and anywhere needed. But, yeah.
I love the willingness though, right? It's, you know, God could use us anytime, anywhere, and it's just being willing. Yeah. And available to help, isn't it?
Yeah. It was very funny when I had to write, where have you served in the church for my job? And I'm pretty sure I had 4 sentences of everywhere I've served.
Did you run out of lines on the form?
Yeah, run out of room. Yeah. Can I borrow another form, please?
Yeah. They were a bit confused why I had so much. And they were like, okay. I think
you've got a servant heart. You can come work here.
Yeah. And so, leading on with that, I work with a company called YouthWorks.
Nice.
And where it is an Anglican organization, but we're all serving the same God. So their mission is to see an effective youth and children's ministry in every church.
Oh, cool.
And so I'm working with them and just seeing so many little lives changed by Jesus, and they don't know it, but we're planting the seeds and God is just watering, and we like being the sower and just throwing it everywhere we can.
Awesome.
So much so we don't want to be Bible bashing them, but sometimes, man, they feel like we are.
Hey, well, it's a Christian organization.
It's a Christian. We get to.
yeah, that's cool. That's exciting.
And you'd hope, you know, that a lot of people who were there were hoping to maybe hear more about it too. So really it's a bit of a win-win for everybody, because people might be coming wondering or questioning things or wanting to know more. So it's a really great opportunity, isn't it?
And when you're coming from school, you're like, it's a trip away from school. So you're there, they're there for a few days, aren't they?
Oh, we have day camps where they're just there for the day. We have people as young as year 2 coming to stay with us overnight.
Okay.
That's a lot of tears.
What's year 2?
Good tears, right?
Good tears.
Is that 7-year-olds?
Or missing mum tears?
Yeah, 7-year-olds.
Right, yeah. Sorry, because I'm from New Zealand, so I don't really understand the year. Really,
grade 2?
Grade 2? Yeah, I think grade 2. Yeah.
Right,
still only quite little.
And all the way up to grade 12. Like, we get everyone.
Yeah.
And
oh, you get kids that are at the end of their schooling too.
Yeah, we get kids everywhere.
Well, that are kids, they're like young adults almost.
They're young adults. And
they would give you grief, I bet.
Oh.
Because you're only a little bit older than them.
I'm only a little bit older than them. And
that's
the
been
boys are a little bit too cocky when they find out how old I am. But, yeah, the girls just vibe with me and we have so much fun.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Cool. Sounds like a fun job.
It is so much fun.
And rewarding too, I can imagine.
And so rewarding. Just the amount of stories we come back to at the end of the week.
Yep.
Just we gather on a Friday at afternoon meetings and we just talk about the camps and all the opportunities and the times we didn't think we'd be able to share, or even the weird questions and the difficult questions that we were able to answer and help young kids understand that they never understand before.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of working with kids of all different ages, and you don't know, you know, what's happening in their home lives or what their struggles are or, you know, where they're at in their walk with, if they even know who God is or, you know, so I'd imagine being such a caring and supportive and safe environment, you get to have some really lovely conversations with,
yeah,
with, you know, people of all ages and stages.
Yeah. We get them all the way from atheist. I've had a year two who was an atheist.
Right.
And just because he didn't quite understand faith yet. His entire family was Christian, but he was like, I don't want to believe it.
Sure.
And so that was really disheartening, but that was nice because we had conversations that he didn't feel comfortable having with his family, but he was able to ask me
with you guys,
and just fire those really hard questions at me, and that was really nice, but so unexpected from a year tour.
Yeah, I was going to say someone so young, but you know, when you think about
quite provoking for that age, isn't
it? And to think that, you know, that particular child had grown up with in a Christian household, but you know, how amazing that they are actually going through the thought process themselves to really understand, you know, who is God?
Yeah.
Is he real? What does it mean?
Does he exist? Yeah. All those questions I'm sure you got fired at.
Oh, all of them. There were so many, but I was so happy to answer them.
Yeah, of course.
He went away smiling from that camp. He was happy to have a new understanding, and also someone listen to him and understand his point of view. But like, yeah, I've also had so many Christian schools, the really, really Christian schools, where they want us to be so blunt about Jesus that it nearly every third word has to be either Jesus, God, or the Holy Spirit.
Okay, well.
And we also get public schools, and so we get all ends of the spectrum.
And do the public schools not want you to talk about Jesus, or they don't really say anything?
Yeah, we are not allowed to speak
directly
about Jesus, but if we get kids asking, we can speak as much as we want about him.
Cool.
And so, yeah, we always pray for those times that we can share that.
Of course.
About Jesus. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Amazing. Yeah. I wanted to circle back around to the youth stuff here at Guymie Baptist Church. Like, what does youth look like here? What do they do? Who gets together? What happens?
Yeah. So our youth program is so much fun. We start at 7 o'clock on a Friday night.
Nice.
And sometimes we'll have food, sometimes we'll have just tiny snacks depending on the activity that we're going to be doing. And then we'll play some fun song that says that they have to come in, a massive countdown, and they all run in. And then running at their own pace.
Like safely, teenagers, of course, do. Too. Safe running. Yeah.
Like teenagers do, their own pace. So 30 seconds left. And
I'm still going, guys. Come on, get in.
Yeah. And so we all join in, and we have a chill time beforehand, and we play video games, play board games. Just have some fun. And then we go in for the message brought to us by one of our lovely team members.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
They are a great team. Cool. Yeah. And after we hear the message, we go into our own mini life groups.
Okay. Yeah.
And
are they predestined? Like, are they ones that, so you know who's in your group every week, or do they change up?
We have our own age groups. So I see. I have the 7, 8, and 9 girls.
Okay, cool.
So,
as in year 7, 8, and 9?
Yeah, year 7, 8, and 9.
Cool.
And, we keep them close to their age ranges. Yeah, so they're all in a similar year age of life.
Yeah,
cool.
And so we have 4 different groups, and so for 2 boys and 2 girls groups. And, we do that for about 30 minutes, depending on how long the message goes for, and then we go for a hella fun game.
Awesome.
Or a really chill movie night.
Yeah, cool.
Just whatever the theme of the night is.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. Yeah, it's
good. I used to do youth back in the day at another church many moons ago when I was a younger person.
Yep.
It was good fun, yeah.
Yeah, youth is such a great time, and it's a great mix. Yeah. Sounds like a great mix of fun and a little bit of learning and a bit of fellowship as well, which is really nice.
And they all get to hang out with each other too. And so they're from different schools, I'm getting.
Yeah, like we get shy in a bar, but we've also recently, when I was in youth, it was mainly like Shire and Innabara kids that made up the main majority. But now these days we're getting like Gaimia Tech kids. We're getting kids from everywhere else that aren't Christian schools, they're coming to us, bringing their friends and just having those experiences and having fun, and it's a nice safe place for them to be on a Friday night.
Yeah, words getting around.
Having fun. They're growing in their faith.
That's right. That's the important bit. Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
And if people wanted to find out a bit more about it or come along to youth.
Oh, yeah. They can speak to Georgia, who's filling – Georgia Mullins, who's filling in for Kat Lewis O'Connor, who's our normal – youth and young adults leader, but she's on maternity leave when we're filming
that's
this.
Right, she
used to. So, speak to Georgia Mullins, who is filling in for her.
Fantastic, cool. Fantastic. Nice. And, if you don't go to Gaimia Baptist Church and you don't know who either of the contacts are, you can always reach out via the website or the Gaimia Baptist phone number as well, and anybody in our team will be able to get back to you and have a chat with you more about
that. They'll be more than happy to help you along with that.
Amazing. So if you had to have a think about someone in particular, who would you think would be someone of significance that's walked with you in your Christian journey?
I've had a lot of these people, and it's always through the times when I need them. And when they reach that point, it changes it's just a cycle. So, like, my current one is Roxy. She's my life group leader, Roxanne Lawler.
Would that also be the Reverend Mother?
Yes, our Reverend Mother. Yes.
Shout out to Rox.
Gotta love our Reverend Mother.
She's good value.
Yeah. So she's one of my main one currently.
Cool.
But I've also had Matt. I also had ones in Hawaii called Pete and Liz.
Cool.
And just Auntie Carol and other people who just have helped me in the times that I've needed them to be there.
Cool.
And it's always changed, but Roxy's probably been one of my most constants.
Okay, nice. What is your take on discipleship and how do you live that out?
I love discipleship. It's definitely something we have to do. Like, I want to see the kingdom come. I want to – everyone – it hurts me when I hear about people who don't know that – about how great Jesus is. And yes, some people have been wronged by the church in the past, but I want to be the love. I want to show them how great Jesus's love is for them and God's love is for them. And yeah, just be that person that they need. And yeah, that's what I believe discipleship needs to be these days, because when people think of the church, they think of you're going to hell, you're not going to do great, you're going to go to hell, boo, and you can't be saved. Sadly, it's been like that in the past, and they have that point of view for a reason, but yeah, the best way we can disciple is through love. And be the love that they need and see and just be like Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, I'm very much aligned to that. And, you know, we can show that love because Jesus loves us.
Yeah.
Jesus loved us first, so we can show love to others. And it's how we walk out our faith. That's great.
That's right. So Let's head on a little tangent here.
Oh, yay, tangent time.
So you've already shared a few really, really great stories of, you know, where you've seen God at work in your life, you know, right from a young age. But has there been a really significant time in your life where you just knew God was there, Jesus is walking with you. You know, there could be one really, really big, profound moment or story that you want to share, or hey, you might have a couple.
I have so many.
We'll pick one or two, or maybe three, however you like
I'll
to share.
I'll pick two medium length.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Yeah. So I'm going to pick my two favorite ones.
Cool.
I have had so many sneaky Jesus moments over the years. Sneaky Jesus moments, for those who don't know, is the coincidences that aren't coincidences and the ways that we've seen Jesus at work in our lives.
Yeah.
And so my two favorite ones that I've shared before with my youth, but I want to share again because I always have to hold back sometimes because they're – one of them isn't as happy and sunshiny as most of them, but it's where Jesus works. And, yeah, so my first one is I'm a military kid, so my family was and is my was my constant.
Yep.
It should have been God, but I just knew my family would be there everywhere I went on a trip. Friends weren't constant. My extended family weren't always close by. Mm-hmm. But my mum, my dad, and my brother were always there. And sure. So we were all so close. Lachlan and I have a relationship where it's not normal. We do argue sometimes, but like most siblings do. But we've found ways to not argue because and come to a really quick understanding because we needed to have that peace and that understanding and be there for each other.
Yeah.
And so obviously God just had to shake that apart. And so that was why God called me to get baptized.
Okay.
He told me that, yeah, life was going to get hard and it's going to get horrible. And so I went, yeah, sure. I don't know how bad this is going to get, obviously, because you're a great God, so you won't do anything to harm me, right? Right? And, yeah, when I was in year seven, I found out for the first time that my dad cheated on my mum. And the lovely Karen, the amazing woman she is, forgave my dad the first time. But I am a person who has my feelings. My family don't share them. And so I also didn't see therapy, and I definitely should have, but I blame myself for some reason. I blame my dad cheating. I don't now, but when I was in year seven, it was just so confusing. And I felt like I had to be there for my mum and my brother, or somehow also my dad. And I'd blame myself. Tried to commit suicide about 4 or 5 times. And it just wasn't a good stage. Like with my dad, I have anxiety from past issues where I'm never late to any event. If people know me, I'm always earlier than I have to be because it's been drilled into my head and I just don't want to be in that position. And yeah, so I have anxiety and I also have depression. I have seen therapy and they diagnosed me and yeah, it was a very tough time, but I didn't know I had all that stuff. And so I didn't understand that my feelings were understandable, but went through a very, very tough time. And yeah, as I said, it got very, very bad. And I worked through that. I found coping mechanisms, which is mainly the MCU. But it was my escape. I also love reading. And so it took me a while to get onto my favorite books, but I found when I could read, I found an escape away from the reality that was my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mum had ways in place that Dad could try to regain her trust. It's mm-hmm. part of the reason I have such bad trust issues now.
Mm-hmm.
Mum had those ways in place, but he went against everything, all the ways she had in place. And then it was year 11.
Mm-hmm.
Year 11, I came home one day and I saw Rox and Sheena Hind drive past, a lovely member of our church as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
A part of Mum's and your guys' life group.
Yeah.
And I saw them drive past and I went, something's not up. I'd also had a horrible seminar at school, so I was ready to just come home.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I saw them, and even in my stomach, I knew something was wrong.
Sure.
And so when I came home, I entered the house and the vibe was just not right. It was a very sad vibe. And then Dad and Mum sat us down and said, look, Dad said, look, I cheated on your mother again.
Mm-hmm.
And Mum was just in tears beside herself. I remember seeing her face. And I remember also looking at my dad's face, and he didn't have a tear on his face. He was sad, but he wasn't crying.
Mm.
And I just remember feeling so hurt and so angry at my dad.
Mm.
And I was like, my mum was so amazing and she forgave you, and how could you do this to her? I was so mad. But I had to go for a walk. I couldn't be in the house. I rang Matt Willis, also an associate pastor at our church, youth leader at the time,
sure,
and said, look, Lachlan's going to need someone. Can you come over and help?
Yeah.
And, he came as quickly as possible, and I rang my youth leader at the time, Jessica Baker.
Another champion.
Another champion. She was also one of my people that helped me a lot. I just talked to her and told her how I was feeling, and she just said, yeah, that's completely understandable
mm-hmm.
to feel. And I walked home and then walked back into the house, and because my family doesn't like to express our emotions, my brother went to go garden and do stuff with his hands to try to create some order, and I folded the entire linen closet. It hasn't changed since, but it's very nice.
Very tidy.
Very tidy. Like all the sheets are inside their designated pillow slip.
I've heard of that technique.
Yes.
Yes.
And so.
Yeah. Is that Marie Kondo technique, or is that something else?
That's a bit different.
Anyway.
But yeah. So you fold the sheets normally, and then you put them in the pillow slip, and then fold the pillow slip over, and then it's like all the entire bundles inside the pillow slip that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you have like a queen bed with that extra pillow slit, you just pop it inside as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have everything you need in that pile.
We need to try that. Our linen cupboard is not bad.
It's diabolical. It's diabolical. We need help, man.
Yeah. A little bit of chaos when you open our linen door.
Yeah, everything just bundles out. Yeah. We're like, oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, so
but it's a technique, right?
It was one of my coping mechanisms to create something I could control.
That's right, yeah.
And because especially when I was like, I didn't feel like I had any control.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dad left the house that day because Mum was like, I can't stand for you to be living here anymore. And so she kicked him out, and thankfully I still love my dad, but she definitely didn't need him in the house anymore.
Sure.
And so he moved out, and so it's now just me and my brother and my mum living at the house currently. Mm-hmm. Same house. But yeah, that was so much.
Hard season. Jesus.
Yeah, hard season.
Yeah. And I definitely wouldn't have, as I said, wouldn't have made it through if I didn't just prove, like, show to people, like, that, yes, I am a Christian and I trust him fully. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I have a little poster of when I got baptized, and every time I'd be like, oh, my God. And there were so many of those.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the poster and went, it's because people need to see how great you are.
Mm.
And so I understood then and there that, yes, pain will come and go, but God is forever. And I needed to understand that, because I was, if before then, I was sort of like, yay, God does give us little bad things. And it was only small stuff beforehand. It wasn't as big as that. And, yeah.
I think it was a blessing that God had prepared you to say there's something big coming, and then he's like, get baptized, because you're going to need to be prepared for this thing. And, of course, it, you know, at that age you didn't know what was going to come.
Yeah, but, and it's
and that it's was that would have been horrific to go through.
Yeah.
But that was it was good that you had people around you, a community, and also God there to support you through it.
Yeah, I had a lovely
Would have been a very hard time, but you look like you've come through it okay.
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, nah, my family's gone through the divorce, and still lots of stuff that they're working through, and a lot of feelings that my mum is feeling and my dad is not, and will never acknowledge. But yeah, it's we're still working through it, but it's God has always been present and always working through his wonderful actions. Yeah. And
And what was your other sneaky Jesus?
My other sneaky Jesuses? Oh, so many. So many times God has worked through me to bring my friends to faith.
Cool. Awesome.
And like so many times he's protected me from car crashes.
Yeah, that's true. That was only last year. There was one.
It was this year.
Oh, this year. Oh, wow. Sorry.
It was March.
Oh, my gosh. It seemed like
painful last time.
You're like, oh, it's all coming back quickly.
It was only March. Yeah.
But I remember that date.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what a miracle. God was definitely in that.
Yeah, that was a miracle.
And I've got to share through that time to a group of kids about like 2 weeks later. One of my kids quite asked at my kids. I'm not old enough to have kids. I like to refer to the kids I have on camp as my kids because
work, you mean, right?
Yeah, at work. They become my kids for the week.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You're responsible for them.
I'm responsible for them.
You're the camp mother.
Yeah, I'm the camp mother, and I will protect them.
Of course. Like that. That's right.
And so
So what actually happened? What happened?
I love this story. It's such a good story. I'm just going to tell it because I love this story. So I was leaving work. Me and my work colleagues had all left at different times, but I was in the middle, and middle to the middle front. I had people in front of me and people coming behind me, and we all left at different times. I left work and it had just been raining a lot, but we saw a freshwater turtle on the side of the road.
Okay.
So the person in front of me who had left 15 minutes beforehand stopped to look at this turtle and move it off the road.
Yeah.
Right. So we were much more close to each other. And then another person caught up behind, Sophie, lovely lady, caught up behind, and so we were all really close to each other. And so me and the front other car headed off, and Sophie stayed back a bit. Thankfully, she stayed back a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we drove off. It was pouring so much. Audley Weir was closed, so we were going the long way to Waterfall.
Yeah.
So you're driving back through the national park.
Yeah, driving back through the national park, and it was in between.
That's in the Shire, people, just people that are not sure where this is in Australia. Yeah. It's in the Shire in Sydney.
And, yeah, it was in between work, which is Youth Works Port Hacking, which is about 3 Ks away from Audley Weir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was in between there and one of the creeks.
That's okay. We forgive you for not remembering.
It's a bridge crossing. It's quite a big bridge crossing. It's a traumatic
thing, so.
Like, if you ever drive through the Royal National Park, it's in between Bundina and Audley.
Okay,
it's
cool.
A small section of road, but mm-hmm. I was in the 80 zone, and so I was driving at 80, and I remember seeing the water split up. And there's not normally a puddle there, but it was so much rain because rain was coming down. I saw water come up from the back of my friend's tires, and I went, okay, I'm going to slow down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
When I hit the puddle, I lost all traction on my car. I went across to the right lane. I always get that wrong. The right lane, yeah. And so the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And on that side of the road, there's a massive cliff.
It goes down
with so many trees. Oh, and man. I was in such a small car, I would have died if I went down that hill.
Oh, so basically the car's just aquaplaning, no traction.
Yeah, no traction, nothing. It was a 2010 model, and so it wasn't great. And I was like, okay, this is scary, but I trust God. And then miraculously, there's never a puddle there. I've driven that road so many times afterwards in rain. Mm-hmm. There's never a puddle there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep.
But there was a massive puddle that I hit again that caused my car to turn away from the cliff face and towards a rock wall.
Yep.
And although I was traveling at 80 Ks when I hit that rock wall, the car bent around me. The airbags did not go off.
Wow.
Wow.
And the front of my car ripped off.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
My oil tank was hanging out the side of my car.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
And thankfully my friend Sophie was a minute or two behind me because she would have been hit by my car's debris.
Yeah.
And my friend in front of me was about 50 Ks away. Not 50, 50 metres away from me.
Yeah.
Okay, so they would have seen they the saw view. The accident happen.
Oh, my goodness.
And I felt so bad for him because he's witnessed it all. Mm. And, it was very scary.
Yeah.
But I was conscious the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I hit the wall. It went black for like 1 second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I woke up and I went, okay, whew, that happened.
Yeah, it's real.
That's real? Okay. What do I need to do? And so pulled over to the side, turned off my car, did everything that I needed to do.
Yeah.
Adrenaline was pumping.
But you weren't injured?
Nah.
What?
Nah.
I saw you in like a neck brace.
Yeah, I got whiplash.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Well, that was lucky then.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
And so 80 Ks with whiplash.
Yeah, that's a miracle.
And I only got whiplash and bruised shins.
Yeah.
And they're like, did you hit your head? And I went, no. Did the airbags go off?
They always ask that, did you hit your head? I guess they have to, right?
They had to clarify because it was course. So fast,
yeah, that's right.
So wet.
And the car was a write-off, right?
Yeah, complete write-off. Like, yeah. Oh, and the car bent around me, as I said.
Yeah.
And
I think Jesus was in the car with you.
Honestly, there was a guardian angel with me because
definitely.
Nothing in the driver's compartment touched me.
Wow.
So
that's incredible.
Definitely it should have crushed at least my legs.
Yeah.
But way I crashed should have at least pushed my legs a bit further back or crushed it around my legs.
Yeah.
Far out.
But it didn't. And
Praise God.
I remember before I hit the wall going, dear God, whatever you do, protect me, protect my family.
Yeah.
I was like, if this is my time, okay. I know I've served you and I've served you the best I can. And I hit the wall and then I was like conscious. And so I put my own neck, soft shell neck brace on. Mm-hmm. my work colleagues was like, Bree, stop moving. And I was like, no, I need to call my mum. I need to call my dad. I need to call a tow truck.
And they're like, just chill. You've just been in an accident. Come on, lady.
But they should have listened to me, honestly, because it took like an hour to get a tow truck there because Audley Weir was closed.
So remote. Oh,
that's right.
Yeah. And so I was like, we should have got a tow truck earlier.
What about the ambos and all that?
I didn't call an ambulance.
Oh, right.
Okay. I was fine. And
so one of your friends gave you a lift?
No. So that's also all God's timing. I rang mum and I was like, hey, mum, I'm okay. And I was like, hey, mum, I got into an accident. And she went, at least you're okay. At least you're talking to me. Because I knew if I rang my dad first and he broke the message to her, she would have panicked way more. Mm-hmm. And if one of my work colleagues rang, she would have been like, oh no, Bree's unconscious. Mm-hmm. This is really bad. And panicked way more, the loving mum she is. Yeah. And so I wanted to ease her first. And I rang her and went, Mom, it's okay. I'm fine. Just a bit of neck pain. It's a bit sore, but I can still move.
Yeah.
And she went, okay, ring your dad. And so I rang my dad and he didn't pick up first time. But 5 seconds later, he rang me back and went, Bree, what's up? And this was a Friday, so he normally finishes at like 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I finish at around 4.
Okay.
And so he'd finished, it was 4 o'clock, and he'd finished work early that day because something told him he needed to come home early.
Wow. Really?
Wow. And so it was definitely God telling him to come home early. So he was coming across, he lived in Cronulla at the time,
yeah.
But his girlfriend lives in his girlfriend lives in Bundina.
Oh,
and
no.
So
no way.
He was going to go visit her.
Oh, wow.
And she works at a hospital. She works with kids in in those stages where they're sick, and so she works with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was there and she came, dad came. Dad stayed on the scene with three lovely other people who stood in the rain and directed traffic until the Bundina fireys rocked up. There was three of them because they had nothing better to do. And so they helped direct traffic and help clean up and
just make sure you're okay, situation is okay.
And so
God just brought all these people and your dad.
Yeah.
That is phenomenal.
My dad, when I rang him, why he didn't pick up the first time is he was stepping off the Bundina ferry.
Wow.
So he couldn't answer his phone and he almost dropped his phone in the water.
Oh, no. That would have been hectic. Oh,
but
my God. Thank God he didn't.
Yeah. And so I rang him and I was like, hey, Dad. Just letting you know, I got into a car crash and I don't know how far away you are. But he was like, listen, Bree, I just got off Bundina Ferry because something told me to come.
Yeah.
And so I'll be there in 15 minutes. I'm walking to my girlfriend's house now. Yeah. And
he would have ran.
He was sprinting because he even like hip dialed me as he ran into the house. And I remember hearing him over the phone call going, hey, Bree's been in an accident. We need to go now.
Yep.
And I was like, hey, Dad, I don't know if you can hear me, but you've accidentally rang me.
Hip dialed me.
Yeah. And so, he got to me so quickly, and then his girlfriend drove me to the hospital just to double check I was okay, given how fast it was.
That's right.
But I was so conscious, I had all the details, of the crash on my phone. Like I took taken notes. I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to need to do. Here's my registration. Like, I'm definitely think this is a write-off. This is the speed I was going at. These were the conditions, just everything, even the time. I remembered everything. And so
you were prompted. You're like, just like, I need to remember these things and
rattle
them off to the authorities.
I'd never been in a car crash before. That was my first car crash. And
it sounds like you handled it like a professional.
I didn't like
you've had many imaginary ones then. You knew what you were
doing. But like I'd never done it before. I just knew I needed to do this. And my wilderness first aid training kicked in and I was like, soft collar with my down jacket around my neck. And I was when I got to the hospital, because they were so confused about how everything, and I got to tell them about how great God is.
Awesome.
But it was so good because I had that experience, and then two weeks later, one of the girls in my group was like, "Hey, does God still do miracles?"
I got a story for you.
And so I told my story, and that prompted more kids in my group to be like, I've had a similar experience where God actually protected my brother from this. And I went, yes. And so this girl went, oh, he's not just the Old and New Testament God. He is living and working in us. And so, it's so amazing. That's my favorite story. And I always love opening with the turtle because it was not meant to be there.
I was like, where's this going?
The turtle was not meant to be there.
That's right. Oh, amazing.
But it was there.
Amazing. And, God at work in our lives, hey?
Always protecting. Always.
So from those stories, how would you say that's grown you or changed you?
It's from both of them. It's made me just trust him a whole heap more. Like, I definitely changed is in this context is very interesting. I changed my mindset. I never changed who I was because I believe you should never change who you are, especially if it's who God made you to be. And so I chose, I didn't change who I am, but I changed my thinking of just the questions I had about God. Like, they'll never be questions, and they'll never ones that made me question my faith. They'll just ones that I questioned about God. And all the time he proved and went, I'm here, I'm present, I when I felt like he wasn't there, he showed up and proved to me that he was. When I felt like my family was bigger than he was, he tore it apart and proved to me that he is the only constant I need. And, it made me become sneaky Jesus queen. When I left youth, I got a little certificate that was like queen of sneaky Jesus moments because every week I was like, this is where Jesus is at.
Oh, so good.
And it's just made me always look for where he is working and see how great he is working.
Okay, so here's a good segue, right? How are you, Bree, following Jesus?
I am finding I've always there's a song called Jesus in Disguise by Brendan Heath and it's Jesus passing by, Jehovah in the skies, and just I live that. My faith is Jesus and God's eyes and being the hands that he needs me to be, coming alongside, stepping into where Jesus needs me to be in God's plans to restore the world.
Sure.
And I don't know what those are, but I know that they're good. And I know that he wants all people to know about him. And from what I do know and what he wants me to know so far, they're the most important bits, and I just share as much as I can and tell everyone about him and how great, and show them his love and his patience and all the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, Bree, it's been amazing having you on. You're an absolute legend. Sounds like you've had a bit of a hard run
yeah,
at times.
It hasn't been easy,
but you've come through it really well. And what an encouraging story about how God got you through that crash too. Well, that was hectic.
That's right. And even though your family unit has changed over time, you know, it still sounds like you've got a beautiful family and you're all there for each other. And
very supportive of each other.
Yeah, and God's there amongst you all and with you, and that's a really lovely thing. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We'll see you around GBC.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the We Are The Church podcast. We hope this inspired and encouraged you on your own journey of discovery and faith. If you or anyone you know has a faith story to share, please get in touch with us.
You can reach us at office@guymebaptist.org.au. Also, if you would like to know more about Jesus, pray with someone, or come along to Guymebe Baptist Church, please check out the Guymebe Baptist Church website at guymebaptist.org.au.
Until next time, I'm Adam.
And this is Brianna saying, God bless and peace be with you.